My friends, the Lord be with you. It's a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word have handed them down to us, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately anew, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and to recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue looked intently at him. And he said to them, "Today, this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord. As I mentioned in the introduction to Mass today, I'm going to speak today a little bit about the work and ministry of Cross Catholic Outreach. But before I do, I'd like to share a little of our scripture. Because I think the scripture helps us to focus our lives of faith in a very practical sort of way. You know, as Jesus proclaims this good news to the poor, he says to all of us that he's here in order to witness that love of God. We're in that Jubilee year of mercy where all of us are called to have that same mercy of Jesus to everyone, to proclaim that year of mercy to everyone and to live it out together. St. Paul says we're all part of one body. We're all part of one body. We're different people, but we all work together in order to bring that good news to the poor, to bring that good news to the world. And we're supposed to live it. The problem we have in doing that is we're too easily distracted. Right now, we're real distracted. You know, we're worried and anxious and upset and all worked up about all kinds of stuff that keeps us from following the Lord. It's that stuff that kind of gets in the way. And what Pope Francis says is we have to have that attitude of the poor. He says we have to become a church of the poor for the poor. What does that mean? It means we have to have the attitude of faith that the poor have who trust in God for what they need and don't rely only on themselves. That attitude is then what forms us into a family of faith. You know, so often we tend to forget that we're a family here. And, you know, just like in your human families, if anything happens to any member in your family, it affects everyone else in the family, right? Good or bad, you can't get away from that because in a family, our lives are intertwined. We affect each other. We impact each other. And it's the same thing in our spiritual family. By virtue of the fact that we're baptized into this community, we have an effect on each other. It's just that in church, it's more subtle. We don't realize it. But we affect one another all the time. When we come together here in liturgy on Sunday, we come here really for two reasons. To give thanks and to remember. To give thanks for all the blessings that God has shared with us and our families. And to remember the sacrifices that Christ was willing to make for each one of us, even though we didn't deserve it, as he hung on the cross. And we come here to recognize Jesus. So look around here at our community, we say, well, here's Christ. We come up here to the altar and the bread and wine and communion. We say, well, here's Christ. But you know, if Jesus... That's where Christ still hangs on the cross and suffers today. Jesus told his disciples, as often as you do these kindnesses, as often as you show love and compassion to the least, the lowest of your brothers and sisters, you do it to me. Now, he didn't tell him you do it to somebody who's kind of sort of like me. No, he said you do it to me. And so our opportunity here today is not only to recognize Christ here in the beauty of our parish church, or to come up to communion and touch him in the appearance of bread and wine, but it's also to embrace him where he still suffers among the poorest of the poor. And if we're willing to do that, if we're willing to start trusting in the Lord to give us direction and happiness and peace in our lives, and stop obsessing about all that other material stuff that we tend to do, then we're willing to bring about this kingdom that's proclaimed to the gospel today. And it's a kingdom that has to happen today in our lifetime. You know, not in some future fantasy time that you hope was going to happen, but today. You know, I was driving on the interstate last week, and I saw this cute bumper sticker on a car, and it said, "Those who seek the Lord at the 11th hour usually die at 10:30. And I thought, you know, there's some wisdom to that, because, you know, in our spiritual lives, you always kind of put off until later what we need to do today. What the scripture reminds us of is the time to recognize Christ among us is today. The time to be Christ to each other through our lives of faith, hope, and love is today. The ministry I'm representing this weekend is called Cross Catholic Outreach. And what Cross tries to do is take this gospel and put it into practice. And so what we do is we seek out those people who are most poor, most in need. And those people, believe it or not, don't live in any of our big cities or even in our country, but they live in the Caribbean, especially in the islands of Haiti, Jamaica, Belize, also in the Philippines and Africa. Now, the people we minister to live in total poverty. They have absolutely nothing at all except their faith, which, by the way, they share with us. They're part of our family and the work of the missionaries. Now, I know Cross Catholic Outreach must sound to you like one of these welfare organizations, one of these giveaway programs, but it's not. What we stress is education and self-help projects in order to help the people to help themselves. You know, the proverb says if somebody's hungry and you give them a fish to eat, well, they're okay today, but tomorrow they're hungry. But if you teach them how to fish, then they're never hungry again. So we start with the children. We have some of the largest schools and orphanages on the islands of the Catholic schools, and they're filled. We don't have a problem with enrollment because the children know that once they graduate from Catholic school, we can get them a job. See, part of the problem in the Caribbean isn't that people are lazy or that they don't want to work. It's that they have no education. They have no skill, no training, and really no opportunity to ever get a job. And that's part of the reason why poverty there tends to continue generation after generation. But by finishing Catholic school, we can get them a job there, and poverty's been stopped in that one spot. We teach the adults things they can use, teach the men how to plant crops. We have poultry projects, fishing projects, rabbit and pig raising projects. Teach the women how to sew. We get them sewing machines. Now, not the electric Singer sewing machines like we have. These are the old kind. Some of you ladies may remember those kinds. You used to have to pedal with your feet. They pedal and sew. Whatever they make, they can sell at the market. So slowly we're starting to see that our presence there in these terrible slums is really helping to give hope and to improve the living conditions for these children, and women, and men, each of whom is Christ on the cross for you and me. Now, when I speak of a slum, you have to realize a slum in the Caribbean isn't like a ghetto or a barrio here in our country. I mean, a ghetto's a really pretty nice place, because here in America, we always have the availability of some kind of shelter or base housing you can go to. We got food stamps, welfare, the ABC program, the soup kitchens, the St. Vincent de Paul Society, the food pantry, the food bank, the WIC program, etc., etc. In the Caribbean, we don't have anything like that. Our people live in large areas. Our largest slum is called Cité Soleil, which is outside of Port-au-Prince, Haiti. That one slum alone has a population of 300,000 people. Now, they all live just right next to each other in these little shacks. They're kind of like lean-tos. They're made out of corrugated tin, cardboard, plastic, old tin cans, whatever they can find at the trash dump. There's no foundation or flooring to these. They just, like, put them right in the dirt. And so when it rains, the water comes in. And they have to live in the mud and the standing water. They have no electricity there. There's no clean running water. There's no availability of doctors or medicine when you get sick, and there's no sewage system. There's no such thing as a bathroom. They just have large open trenches or run up and down the roads, and there's stagnant water there, and everything is sunk to the trench. The little shacks are maybe 8 feet by 10 or 10 by 10. That's for the whole family to live. And so very often, they have to take turns sleeping because there's not enough room. So some of the family will sleep till about 1 or 2 in the morning, and then they get up, and then the rest of the family can come to sleep. Sometimes even take turns eating. I remember one time we had this shipment of food that had come in, and there's little patties we were handing out, and there's a big line of people to get these. And when this little 13-year-old boy got to the front of the line, he started to cry. I said, "What are you crying for? Aren't you happy that you get this patty today?" He said, "No." He said, "Today isn't my turn to eat. It's my sister's." You know, we take for granted the basics. I mean, let's face it, our big decision is to open up the refrigerator and say, "What do I feel like today?" Not, "Am I going to eat?" And we need to realize that we have brothers and sisters of ours who are Christ, and who, for no particular fault of their own, happen to be born there. And you know what? But for the grace of God, you or I could have been born there. What we're reminded of today is that we have been incredibly, incredibly blessed. Here's a news flash. Everything in our life has been a blessing. Nobody owes us anything. We're not entitled to anything. Even where we were born was an initial blessing and a leg up in life. And St. James says it's only in sharing those blessings to the degree that we've been blessed, not what's left over after we had our fun, that we really say thank you, that we really appreciate what God has done for us, and we hope and pray continues to do for us. And ultimately, when we die and are judged and remembered, let me tell you, what we'll be remembered for is not how many times we went to church, or how many novenas we made, or how many vigil lights we lit, but how well did we love, and did we love as Christ loved us? When we come to the first world, we come with this message of hope and love. I'd like to ask you today for your prayers. I think it's important that when we pray today, that we don't just pray for the poor, but that we also pray with them. Because when we pray with the poor, we share their spirituality. You know, it's interesting. The poorest of the poor are always really happy. Right? And they have nothing. I mean nothing. You know why that is? It's because they trust in God. And that's the exact attitude of faith that we want to develop, especially in these very difficult and scary times that we're in. Second thing I want everyone to do right now is grab one of these brochures. Now, they're right on the ends of the pews. So if you're in the end, would you take the little stack and pass it in the middle? You're sitting on it, darling. Lift up, honey. There you go. Pass it down. Grab it from another pew if you don't have enough on your pew. So I want everyone to have one look at me for a second. I'm going to ask you all for a really simple favor, and that is that I want you to take this brochure and pray about it, think about it, talk about it. You know, we've been blessed in some incredible ways. Here's a chance, an opportunity for us to do something incredible back for Christ. There is no special collection taken up for Cross. None, ever. This is your response. That's why it's important. Everyone take it. Inside, you're going to find more information about the ministry. And then you notice that the brochure opens up, and on this bottom half, there's a place called Prayer Requests. If you'll write in your prayer intentions, we'll pray for those at Mass for you every day. And then a place in the bottom for your name and address. And your name will not be given out or shared with any other charity. So don't worry about getting on a whole bunch of dumb mailing lists, because you won't. And then you'll see that there's a pocket here. A very big pocket where you can put your donation. Now, if you got a check, you make it out to Cross Catholic Outreach. It's tax deductible. Or if you'd like to use your credit card, there's a line at the bottom, you can do that. And then you see that the brochure seals and it becomes a self-addressed stamped envelope. And all you have to do is pop it in the mail when you go home. And if you're a procrastinator and you say, "Monsignor, if I take that darn thing home, I'm going to forget it," you can hand it to me. I'll be standing right in the back of church after Mass collecting them. Okay, the important thing is you take the brochure. Let it be a reminder of the many faces of Christ living among us. Here, let me answer a couple very quick questions that people normally ask. So say, "Father, we do a lot of things here locally. We help the needy." I think that's an important part of what it means to be Catholic. But I'm concerned, how much of this gets to those people who really, really need it? Over 95 cents of every dollar you give at Cross gets to the poor. And the reason that's so high is we have a large volunteer staff. We also have our own warehouses, so we can ship directly there duty-free and distribute to the missionaries. And the second thing people sometimes confuse is American economy with Caribbean economy. You'll say, "Well, Father, I wish I'd won the Powerball. You know, wish I was a multimillionaire, and I could really do something beautiful for Jesus." But, you know, realistically, come on. You got hundreds of thousands of people, and they're all living in subhuman conditions, what can my donation possibly do? I mean, even in generosity, and if I were to sacrifice a love like the Bible says, what could I accomplish? In American terms, you're probably right. But in Caribbean standards, every single person here today could multiply the loaves and fishes like Jesus did if we want to. If we're serious about it. If you think about it, how much would you be willing to spend on yourselves for a special celebration, big night out? Let's say it's anniversary, birthday, graduation. What are you going to do? Go down to Lansing, maybe a fancy restaurant. What are you going to spend? $100, $150, $200 for the present? Think nothing of it, but you had a lovely celebration, right? Let me give you a little comparison. $100 in the Caribbean will feed a family of four people for a year. A year. Now, that's not steak or lobster or anything fancy. But the fact is, if you would take the amount of money that you would be very willing to spend on yourselves for one special night out, or maybe some entertainment event, or maybe to go shopping, or take a little trip, take at least that amount of money tonight, today. Now, not less than that. Don't be cheap with Jesus. Take at least that amount and offer that to Christ. Last weekend, I was in a parish. A lady came up after Mass and said, Father, my husband and I would like to build a home for one of the families displaced by the storms in the Philippines. Now, you have to understand, an entire house, a dream home, you know how much that would cost out here, right? Okay, the whole house only cost $2,500. The whole house. She says, we took a vacation this last year. We spent way more than that on ourselves. We feel one of the best ways we can show Christ our gratitude for all the blessings we've received this year is to build that house. So today, I'd like to offer to any family here who has the potential, who maybe in your name, or maybe it's a memorial to a deceased loved one, a parent, a grandparent, a spouse, to build a house for Christ. What a beautiful expression of our faith. What a beautiful way for us to really start to turn to the Lord, trust in Him, and become the body of Christ. I want to thank you all for the invitation, the opportunity to share this message of hope and love this weekend, and ask you to continue to keep the poor in your prayers as you all remain in ours. May God bless you. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.